At Red Barn, our pet food ingredients work overtime. They aren't just there for show. Dandelion greens work to maintain a healthy digestive system. Salmon oil works to enhance the immune system. Green-lipped mussels work to support joint health. These hardworking ingredients support your dog's active, healthy life. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Visit redbarninc.com/coupon to save $1 off your first can.
What about this? What about that? Oh, yeah. Here I go again, thinking the same old thing. What is... I can't hold out on this thing, Lord. See, I don't wanna disappoint you, my Lord, again. So deliver me from these thoughts in my head, Lord.
Deliver me from the valley.
Deliver me from the valley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Bear It All. Here at Bear It All, our mission is to empower you to live a life of purpose and step into your power. If you want to reach out to us, you can do so through Twitter at RSBearItAll or Facebook, facebook.com/ @bearitall. And our email address is bearitall3@hotmail.com. I want to thank you all, those that are our regular listeners. Thank you so very much for your support. We truly, truly do appreciate it here at Bear It All. I am your host, Raquel Stewart. And to those of you that are new to Bear It All, I want to welcome you. So sit back, relax, and get ready to bear it all. Here's what I want to, we're going to have an exciting conversation today. As I always do, I just want to let you guys know, remember to follow this election that's taking place, okay? I keep reminding you because it's so important. We as lay people have a tendency to just complain about our politicians. I want you to stop complaining. I want you to pray for them. And I want you to be aware of their platform and what they stand for, okay? I say that every single week because I really want to stress how important it is that we understand what the person that's going to be running this country stands for, what's their platform, so that we as citizens have a responsibility to hold them accountable for what they say they will do. So we don't want to be complaining about it. We want to pray and we want to hold them accountable. Okay? So let's continue to do that. For those of you that are new to Bear It All, definitely want to encourage you to continue listening. Let me tell you something about this show. This show is more than amazing guests coming on, but it's about bringing people here to share their story with you, to be transparent and authentic and genuine in doing so. And while they're being transparent, authentic, and genuine, you're also learning something from the guests that I bring on to Bear It All. So please drop us a line. Let us know. You know, if you really enjoyed a guest, please let us know. I always have our guests give it their information. Get in touch with them if you have a question. Don't be afraid. This is the year for us to take a chance and take a risk and step out on faith and divorce fear, okay? So we're no longer going to let fear stop us from doing something. Now, this evening we've got an amazing guest, and I love the fact that she's in IT because that's typically a male-dominated field. Okay, but this evening we've got Ms. Ann Alston, and Ann is the founder and CEO of Alston Tech Consulting, LLC, a new emerging woman-owned, fantastic, organization that connects clients, industries, and technologies with over 25 years of combined information technology and administration experience. Ann's extensive background comes with the knowledge and precision of providing valuable IT consultation services and professional development services. Ann began her consulting business as the owner of A&M Creations in 1997. Working as a desktop publisher and business strategist, the company's motto was serving the needs of small businesses. She would later add general technical support, PC repair, and IT business consultation to her list of services. In 2005, the company changed its name to Alston Tech to reflect the type of services she provided and to expand upon her consulting expertise. In addition to running her new business, Ann's a busy woman. Ann serves as an IT manager for one of the leading philanthropic network organizations in the world, located in Arlington, Virginia. In this role, she is responsible for overseeing the administration of internal systems and technology strategies for the organization. Prior to that, she served as a systems administrator technical lead for an airline affiliate organization located in Arlington, Virginia, for 5 years, where she oversaw IT projects, improved end-user services, managed technical staff, and trained staff. Her earlier careers included system and network administration, help desk management, and IT consultation for managers. While working for various industries such as legal, transportation, government, nonprofit associations, and private organizations, Anne is a humanitarian and philanthropist. Wow, who believe in the power of information sharing and giving. and exemplifies this through her efforts of bringing positive change to businesses by bringing client, industries, and technologies together for a common goal that will bring value to customers. Anne's responsiveness to her customers is unmatched because she always strives to become a partner. Anne earned a bachelor's degree in IT from the University of Phoenix and a dual master's degree in information technology with a concentration on information assurance and cybersecurity policy from the University of Maryland University College. Wow, that is extensive. This lady knows her stuff when it comes to information technology. Anne, I want to welcome you to Bear It All. How are you?
Good. Thank you so, so very much, Dr. Raquel. I'm going to tell you, that was a mouthful, you know, and I really appreciate you, you know, giving, you know, such a nice bio in the background because it is a lot of work, and I'm so proud of a lot of the accomplishments that I've done over the years. So thank you so much for having me on your show and allowing me to share my story with you today.
Oh, my gosh. We absolutely are so excited to have you here. And I'm going to be honest with you, and since the show is called Bear It All, I have no idea what half the stuff is that you do. It just sounded so great and amazing, and I'm like, that's right, sister, get on in there and show these men that we can do it too. I love
it. That's right. You know, being a woman in the IT field is very difficult. There's a lot of barriers that, you know, we have to go through, such as just being on the same level, getting the same pay, just being equal in every status in every way. It is a very difficult thing to be a female in the information technology realm. But today I kind of want to touch on something that's really true to the Bear It All, and that's really about bullying and how you can overcome that. And how I wanted to share that story, because a lot of what I'm going to share today really resonated with me over the years and kind of prompted me to go into this route of my career and how Austin Tech is providing services. And then, of course, the book that I've written, Empower Thyself, is all a part of that.
Wow. Well, you are empowered already. I mean, you took the mic, so keep on going. Tell us about this. Why is this bullying and overcoming your emotions so near and dear to you?
Yeah. Well, the reason why I wanted to bear it all on that, because I really felt it important to kind of talk about this, because it's not just the youth being bullied. I'm seeing, you know, things all over social media. I'm seeing things on the news, on TV, everywhere you go, no matter where you are, where there's technology. There's a lot of negative feedback from people, bullying online and things of that nature. And it really has impacted people to the point that, you know, right now our people are just doing so much violence all over the world. And a lot of it is emotional. Some of them, I think, you know, does come from bullying, and other, you know, instances come from other situations. But in terms of, you know, being bullied and how to overcome that, it's really just one of those emotional things that really never really leaves you, but it's just a way of being able to cope. And I know because when I was younger, I you know, I had a good family. I mean, they all, you know, got together. We had good principals. We all had Christmas together. We all went to the park and things of that nature. And then somewhere along the line, it turned in from a really close-knit family to a bunch of internal bullying. So the bullying kind of started for me, you know, when I was younger, from family members. And it was very difficult. And then I also had bullying from school. So you can imagine that I was bullied in school and at home.
Wow.
You know, and it wasn't, I think for me it was more of, you know, why I was bullied. There were like a number of reasons, you know, wearing glasses or being overweight, or maybe you're just not in the click of things. But when you have to come home and you have to look at your sister or your brother or your cousin, and you're getting the same bullying that you get outside, it really weighs on you. So in my personal story, I was actually bullied and you know, just pretty much beat up like every day from school.
Wow.
I mean, there wasn't a day that went by that I wasn't in a fight with someone over something, and a lot of times nothing. But it was very hard for me to cope because I didn't have anyone at home to help support and kind of and let me know that I have the power to, you know, overcome these things. So, you know, for me, my outlet was, you know, let me go out there, sing a song, do some performances and things. And I really enjoyed that, you know. But it still it still was no replacement for, you know, for your mother or your sister or your brother to kind of say, I have your back. I'm going to protect you. You know, I didn't have any protection. So I had to learn how to deal with certain, you know, adversities at school and at home. And some of the things that I've talked about in my book, you know, just helped me deal with that, you know, coming up with different principles of what I will and won't accept, you know, and how I'm behavior-wise, how I'm going to handle that. And I talked about those things, you know, in my book through, you know, principles 2, 3, and 4 about trying to think positive, try to, you know, do things that's going to counteract that emotion and don't allow that emotion to take over your life. And I've actually known a couple people who I grew up with that also was bullied, and they're not here today. They're not here today. And even in my own life, I found myself at 16 years old facing that same situation and actually attempted to take my life because I just felt like I just wasn't loved. And that's when, you know, of course, I did have one lady in my life who was my aunt, and I love her to death. She actually took me to her home in New Jersey and actually brought me back from that brink and showed me that I don't have to live like this. I don't have to feel like this. And so, you know, for everybody listening, you know, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, you still feel the effects, you know, of being bullied. Even now, I still sometimes think about that and I hold grudges. But, you know, I can't hold grudges forever. You know, I got to find a way to move forward. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that I kind of wanted to talk about on the Bear It All because I'm pretty sure that people get bullied all the time but don't really talk about it to kind of let it out. And I want to let mine out, you know. It's very, very hard. It's very, very hard. And I think in the end, it made me a better person, and I never took my anger from people bullying me to turn it into something where I am bullying others. And we need people to start taking a step back and saying to themselves that just because I'm bullied doesn't mean I have to go out there and bully someone else, you know.
Right.
And it can come in many forms. It can come from name-calling or putting people in a certain situation to make them feel uncomfortable, or, you know, or getting other people to bully them, you know, by trying to gain friends that will be on their side to bully another person. And it can happen anywhere. It can happen at school. It can happen out in public. It can happen even on the workplace, that people tend to bully other people because they feel like they have a certain power. But, you know, when you empower yourself and you have that control, no one can actually bully you ever again.
Now, you notice that old adage is hurt people hurt people. So the bully is someone that's being hurt themselves, either physically, emotionally, mentally, at home. Because I remember this was a long time ago. We had a guest on the show who was bullied, and it led to him developing a mental illness. His bully was being bullied at home by his father. He was being physically abused by the father, and that bully is no longer here. He eventually he suffered with depression. It was something hereditary in his family, and he took his own life. The bully did. The young man that was bullied, the victim, is now an advocate against bullying, and he goes around the country just speaking in various forums and organizations on bullying and what we can do about it. So that old adage is true, hurt people do hurt people. Now, you said something really interesting in the beginning about, you know, the internet and how people are being bullied differently this time. And what that brought to mind for me was this new thing called mother shaming. Is that what it's called? Like, what's her name? John Legend's wife.
Yeah, there's different forms of it. Pretty much what you said, you know, you're just shaming people online, you know. And then you have the youth. I mean, think of it. Everyone has a cell phone or an iPad or some kind of technology device that they are checking day in and day out. And if someone who has bullied you at school finds your account or something like that, or they're friends with someone in your account, you know, they actually have access to get on your Facebook or your Twitter or Instagram and start just sending things that is just not appropriate. And, you know, that's still a form of bullying. I mean, that person is actually sitting there and reading it and internalizing it like, wow, I can't believe that they actually posted this kind of thing, causing a lot of stress and, you know, and conflict. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes we're not smart enough to just say, okay, I'm just not going to deal with this. I'm just going to block the person. What happens instead is that they internalize it, and then they get angry, and then they precipitate even more bullying by responding to it. And we need to stop responding. We need to start using technology to turn it around and say, you know, I don't have to deal with this. I know how to block these related people and deal with them on a more person-to-person basis instead of using technology to maintain that friendship. And because Facebook and Twitter is so interpersonal right now, we forget about the human factor. We forget about the human interaction. And that's why one of the things I talked about in my book is just turning technology off. You know, turning off your TV, turning off anything that's related to technology for about a week. And you would be surprised, Raquel, you'd be surprised about how much awareness that you start to realize that's going on around you, because you're not watching TV, you're not on the Internet, you're not on the computer. You're actually being aware of your surroundings and what's going on, and you start to interact with people. We have lost that over the last 20 years, because technology has gotten so diverse that it pretty much eliminates the human interaction, the face-to-face that we all used to have. And because of that, it really gives bullies, you know, that's a new word I made up, bulliers. they give bullies the opportunity and the access and availability to have a broader reach. You know, instead of just attacking that one person, they can actually attack multiple people, you know. And again, because we're so ingrained with technology, we don't really necessarily think about how to just block them right away. Instead, we respond to it, precipitating more of the same behavior.
Right. Now, you mentioned, you're absolutely right. And the problem is that our youth are the ones that are suffering, because I know you mentioned, you know, sometimes it's just about being smart and blocking that person. But when you're an adolescent, it's cool to be popular. So you kind of don't want to block anybody. You don't want to be bullied either, but you don't want to block people because it's about the numbers game. And our adolescents, because their mind is not fully developed, they won't think the way an adult would think. So for our adolescents, it's kind of hard for them. They're having a difficult time as it is trying to control their own emotions. And now here comes somebody bullying me. I don't know what to do. I'm telling, but no one's really listening. And I think we need to actually, we're now starting to take bullying very seriously. We've got these anti-bullying ads on TV. And if you see something, you know, tell somebody. If you see somebody being bullied, help them out, not necessarily physically because we don't want somebody to get hurt, but go tell a teacher and tell somebody. Now, you mentioned some principles in your book. What I want to know from you, without giving away everything, because obviously we want folks to buy the book, Empower Thyself, what's the main principle which guides your life? Is there one principle in particular that guides your life?
The one main thing is give yourself permission, which is principle two. A lot of times when we are suppressed by bullying or just feeling just a lack of confidence in general, you know, we can't really move forward with the things that we want to do because we're too busy considering everyone else's opinion or considering what other people are thinking as opposed to ourselves. So for me, what drives me in my whole career and even my own life is learning how to give myself permission to be worthy, to know that I have the potential and that I am worth someone or something in this life that I can do better than what I'm doing the next day. So today I might do good and I have accomplishments, but I want to beat that because I'm giving myself the permission. I'm not asking anyone's permission or feedback or any of that thing, you know, any of that. I'm literally telling myself that I have the power and the control to do that. And a lot of the times when I was younger, in terms of bullying, how I relate this, is that, you know, I was told that, you know, I can't go to school and be a young mom, or I will never become an executive assistant, or I will never become an IT. And these were people who were well-established in their careers who really felt that, you know, against the odds of what I was going up against, that I would never make it. And here I am today proving all of them wrong, because in the end, I really didn't ask their opinion, and I gave myself the permission to say, it's okay to go out there and try it. It's okay.
Right.
And
right.
if you fail, just try again, pick yourself up, learn from it, and keep going and never give up.
You know, that's where most people, we have a tendency as humans to beat ourselves down about something, and we stay down. But the success is in the get up, the bounce back up. How are you going to bounce back from whatever situation or circumstance took place? How are you going to bounce back from? And I think that's what we need to be teaching people, is how to bounce back, how to get back. Because people will look at, you know, other people who they deem is successful, but they have no idea what that person had to go through in order to get where they are. The difference is everyone, it's just how you bounce back, how you get up
that is the key.
Whatever it was that knocked you down.
That is definitely the key. I would say in order to bounce back, you really have to look at your principles, what you live by. Everybody has something they live by, but some people exercise it, some people don't. You know, some people just kind of just fly by the night and see what happens the next day. They're not really considering, you know, what kind of strategy that they're trying to set up. And, you know, to go back to your earlier point about, you know, children and adolescents not really understanding, you know, what to do in terms of social media or how to, you know, deal with that, a lot of it comes, too, from, you know, just getting the parents involved, you know. I know from at least three of my sons, because I have four sons altogether, and a couple of them, I would say the last two, my youngest, my 19-year-old now, and he's 16. Earlier, when they were, you know, younger in their early teens, they were bullied. And one of the things that, you know, my husband and I did is that we sat them down and we talked to them about bullying before they got into junior high school, because we knew that, I mean, they were doing good in elementary, but then when they got to junior high school, there were some issues with bullying. And so we kind of sat down with them and we shared our stories. We weren't holding anything back. Unlike my mom or my sister or my brother who were facing it, they kind of held that in. But, you know, for us, you know, we were very transparent with our children and explained to them our story about bullying and how they can deal with it. And they can come to us and trust us if someone is, you know, bullying them online or in person or whatever the reason may be. But if parents will just have the due diligence to kind of talk about these things when they're younger, before they encounter it, then they will be more prepared to deal with it. And I think that in the end, my sons, they actually came to us when things like that occurred, and then we went down to the school and we kind of just took care of it, and that was the end of it. But if we had not known about it, I think it would have been a worse situation. But because, you know, I'm not saying that every parent is going to do what I did, okay?
Right.
But I am saying that all parents should at least try to prepare their children in some way to, you know, to deal with that kind of thing before it turns into a serious issue, you know. And I know that people are busy and they have their reasons on how, you know, what's going on in their child's life. But, you know, with the way the generation has been going nowadays, I can't afford for my children to go out here and be killed because they're either being bullied or they're victim to some of the other violences that's going out here. You know, even now with, you know, with the police brutality and all the other things that's coming from the judicial system, I mean, they're literally bullying the public and to the point that they are killing our children. And I'm letting them know that this is what you have to face and this is what you're going to need to prepare. And so part of being on this show is just kind of just putting that information out there because it's all about preparation. You know, right. if you don't know what you don't know, and if someone is not sharing their experience, then people are not going to know that this is an option that they can have, you know?
Now, let me ask you a question. And why do you think most parents don't have this discussion with their kids?
I just think, to be honest with you, as a parent of four, you know, you got a lot going on. You know, you're going to work every day, you're paying your bills, you're dealing with other situations. And I don't think it's something intentional that they're not doing. I just think that, one, it could be that they're just not thinking about it or they're handling it the best way that they can handle it. And, you know, there are parents out there that could very well be sitting down with their children like me and Mike have and talk to them. But it all depends on the delivery and the approach and, you know, and how they're, you know, whatever the relationship is between them and their kids. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that if there was more interaction between the parents and the children, I think that we would see less of them hanging in the street and more production. Because even in my general neighborhood where I live, there's a bunch of young people that's just kind of just hanging out and doing whatever it is they're doing. They're not doing anything productive. They're kind of just running up and down the street and throwing things. But, you know, that's not saying that the parents are bad at all. You know,
right.
It just means that, you know, there's something that needs to happen to get them to be more productive. And whatever that is, that's the parents need to figure that out. In terms of bullying, you know, it could be a number of reasons. It could be that they just not even recognizing it, or maybe they have had a situation in their past and they just don't want to face. And I'll give you an example of that. My mom, including some other people who in my family who were also, you know, privy to bullying, you know, their own kids, they had issues when they were younger. And so that precipitated down to the next generation, which was bullying me and my sister, and now I see some bullying going on in other parts of my siblings' generation. But somebody has to break the mold. Somebody has to cut the rope.
Do you think you broke the mold, that you were the one in your specific family to break that mold?
Yes. Because, you know, in the end, it was really more about, you know, how am I going to survive? I mean, at 16 years old, I was bullied all the way up until my second year in high school. And I was bullied at home, and this was at school almost every single day, to the point where I felt like no one loved me. Nobody cared about me in my home at all. You know, so why should I live? That's really what it boiled down to. You know, it wasn't even like a beating. It was more of the name calling, if anything, to make you feel like you were worthless. And that's the part that drives people to do either violent acts or to commit suicide.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I don't know if people really understand how serious and severe bullying is. And, I mean, as much as we have these anti-bullying commercials and we have organizations that talk about bullying and we're not going to stand for it, for me, sometimes I think that if a person didn't experience it, they just really think, oh, my gosh, it's something that you can totally stop. You can actually stop the bully. And it you know, that yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
It's a yes and no. And it's so much more than that. It's so much more as to what you instill in your kids because, you know, growing up, some parents told you if somebody hits you, you hit them back.
Right.
And they think that that's so innocent, but and they say, you know, you're defending yourself. But sometimes it's more than the physical hitting.
Right,
you know, we need
to
start teaching our kids an alternate solution on conflict resolution versus this is the first thing that you do is put your hand up and you fight. That's not always
right.
The best. That's not always the first thing. Now, am I saying that you're not supposed to defend yourself? That is not what I'm saying. Please don't misconstrue what I'm saying to you. I am saying that there are alternate methods Mm-hmm. If someone says something that you don't like, then putting your hand up to hit them. They're alternate methods that we need to start teaching our kids, you know? And it's unfortunate that we just don't teach our kids that sometimes.
Right. Now, I will tell you some of the effects, that, at least that I dealt with, and I'm pretty sure there might be some people that might feel resonate with this. One of the problems that I had was the long-term mental trauma of being bullied, you know. And when I say long-term, I'm talking about years now. I will be 49 years old, and there's still times in my life where I would just go off into a depression, and for whatever reason, I'll start reliving some of these things. It's not that I'm looking for it. You know, some people say, oh, you know, you need to stop holding on to the past. You need to let it go and stop, you know, being upset about who did what to you. But it's not about that. It's about the trauma and the experience that lives with you. It's nothing that you can shake because it just comes back to you. I can be perfectly sitting here and be just as happy as I can be, and then a memory will come to me out of the blue, and then I will suddenly be flooded with the emotions of that memory. And that emotion is what triggers the depression, you know. And then once I realize that, you know, hey, I'm reliving a moment, then I have to sit back and say, okay, that happened in the past. I can't get angry about it. I'll go through my little spiel to myself to bring myself back. Now, sometimes it takes me a day, sometimes it takes me a couple of days, and then my husband, he would give me my space, and he'll say, hey, I'm here with you. I got the rope. That's his term, meaning I got your back. I have the rope.
Okay.
And you can take your time and feel whatever you want to feel, but I'm here for you. Just knowing that I have someone who supports me when I go through these things helps tremendously. Because I can't even imagine if I didn't have him, because I know what I felt like before we got married 17 years ago to now. If I had still felt that way today, you know, it would be, I don't know, it would be catastrophic for me because I'll still be reliving it. And then the other problem, too, of the effects is, believe it or not, the person who's being bullied tends to keep going back to the person who's bullying them because, one, you're used to them doing it. Number two, you're getting attention. Number three, you feel like you still want to be friends with that person, so you keep taking it. I know that sounds weird, but it happens.
Wow.
So that was another struggle that I had to overcome, was to let go of the people who I was looking for that permission to say, it's okay that I can move forward because you bullied me today. And now I feel better because somebody is there in my life, you know. So it's just that's just an example of some of the things that I personally have suffered, I would say, for mostly in my 20s. And then, of course, when me and my husband got married, he actually helped me work through a lot of that, you know, those issues, to the point where I'm actually free from that now. I can talk about it, and it doesn't bother me, and I can have those memories, and I know what to do with them. As before, I didn't know what to do with them, and I will be depressed for long periods of time.
Okay, so now when you get those thoughts and those memories come in, you're better equipped to recognize it and kind of have a different thought, replace it with a more positive thought?
Yeah, just replace it with a more positive. You know, I just counteract. You know, as soon as I feel those things coming on, I counteract, and I said, okay, well, it looks like I'm having a memory. Let me get up, and then I said, okay, what do I have? I have a nice little home. I have, you know, children who love me. I have this. I have that. And then I'm out of it. You know, I really do believe that people who have been bullied, they will never, ever really truly get over the fact that they went through this kind of trauma, but just knowing how to cope and deal with it so that they won't fall into a deep depression is very important.
Absolutely, absolutely. So writing this book, Empower Thyself, was that therapeutic for you? Did it help you heal even more?
Yeah, it actually was because, honestly, it didn't even start out that way. It actually started with a book that I was actually writing before this one called It Doesn't Have to Be This Way. And that's sort of my philosophy of, you know, if you're in a situation, you don't have to be in this situation. And so when developing and revamping, because I've actually started this consulting business in 97, and, you know, life takes over and I had to put it off, but then, you know, I brought it back. And I said, you know, I want to do consulting, but I also want to empower people, and it's something I always wanted to do. And I decided for my first seminar to do Empower Thyself, and I had a bunch of ladies come down, and I gave a seminar, and these were my principles that, you know, I did for my personal and my professional. And so after I did the seminar, everyone loved it. They were very ecstatic about it. And I said, you know, I think I want to put something in a book because I want people to be able to follow through, reread it, you know, take it in, develop some principles for themselves if they don't have any, you know, share my experiences so that other people know that they're not the only ones that's dealing with this. And it doesn't have to be toward bullying. It's about really looking at your situation and saying, am I happy in my situation? What can I do to change it? What can I do to stand out at my job, you know? So for me, it was kind of therapeutic because I turned something that was ugly that went on in my life and turned it into something that people can, you know, can use and be positive and can grow and thrive and feel empowered.
You were blessed. Let me just say what it is. You were blessed to be able to do that. Now, what about the people that don't have that opportunity? They still don't have that support system. They haven't, it's just not in them to write a book. What can
right.
they do to get where you are?
Well, one of the things they have to do is, it was the most hardest thing for me, is that I had to stop thinking about and wondering what other people thought of me. You know, that to me is the number one thing, because we're always talking about and thinking about, well, what if so-and-so, you know, what if they think about me if I do this, you know, they might think I'm crazy, or because I want to act on, you know, my passion, I want to do something. I had a young lady who I'm actually mentoring, this young lady, and she has like three different skills. And mm-hmm. she doesn't know which one she wants to do. She knows she wants to do all three of them. But she's always talking about how her family is against what she's doing. And she doesn't have a support system, just pretty much like you said. And so, mm-hmm. you know, for her, it's more of, you know, just deciding what is your potential. What can you do that has a talent that you love to do? What makes you happy? Recognize that and give yourself permission that is okay. You can do whatever you want to do, and you give yourself permission to not worry about what other people think about you and just do it. Once you're free of those two things, then everything else will follow, because uh-huh. you're not tied to anyone's feedback. You're not tied to someone bullying you, and even if they did, it wouldn't even bother you because you're pretty much taking control of what you're going to be taking in. And you don't really need the support system will come, because once people see that you are moving forward and that you're doing great things, they're going to want to gravitate to you, and they're going to want to conform to your world. You know, I can tell you that some of the people who I know who weren't really bullying me, but they weren't even friends, they're now trying to be friends with me now. Because I'm more outgoing, and I'm not worried about these people. I don't, you know, if I look a certain way, I'm overweight, I wear glasses, I don't worry about those things anymore, because everybody has flaws. And, you know, and I don't sit back and, you know, worry about who bullying me. And even the person who bullied me years ago actually sent me a friend's request last month.
Wow. Did you accept?
And because she wanted to buy the book, and she was actually talking to me as if, you know, nothing has happened. I've had that happen a lot of times. But in the end, you don't hold a grudge because you were bullied. Because once you start holding a grudge, you're going to be holding it, and that's going to keep precipitating all these other memories. You got to let it all go and just deal with just empowering yourself to move forward.
So, you know, I want to know, did you accept the friend request?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And, you know, it's not going to hurt me to not be able to talk to her. If anything, if I didn't do the friends request, what would happen is that it will be on my mind that she actually contacted me, and then I'll start drumming up all this stuff. But God doesn't want me to have hate in my heart for any one person because they bullied me when we were younger or even when we were almost adults. Maybe there was something going on in their life why they had to bully me. I don't know. But, you know, I have the power to be whoever I want to be, and I chose to love people.
Regardless, I love the fact that you just said that you chose, because a lot of us don't realize we have the choice. Now, what would you think if someone that was a victim of bullying had received a friend request from their bully and declined it? Would you think that they're still holding on?
I think that they're still holding on. I think it's unfortunate that they do that, but it's a process, you know. Some people can get over it like I did in, I don't know, 10 years, and some people would never, ever get over it, and they will hold that grudge until they die. But it's really a mindset. It all depends on how severe they were bullied or, you know, insulted or, you know, it really just all depends on the situation. I mean, I would tell you that depending on how bad you're bullied, it could trigger other type of mental disease, you know, mental conditions. I know from my mom, and I'm just, like I said, this is bare it all, so I'm going to bare it all, okay? So for my mom, when my father died when I was about a year and a half, okay? He was with his friend. He was shot. He died 2 weeks later. Triggered schizophrenia, mental condition for my mother. She takes medication for that to this day, okay? And because of that, she was actually bullying me because technically she really didn't know what she was saying. She didn't realize that what she was saying to me was being, you know, she was bullying me, you know, calling me names and doing other kind of abusive things. Not so much a hitting, because she never really kind of did that unless we were in trouble, but there was a lot of verbal abuse there, okay? And because the verbal abuse was there, that precipitated my siblings and my cousins and other people in my family to also partake in the bullying. So
they saw your mom doing it and figured, hey, it's a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then here come school kids, and then here come kids in the neighborhood and things like that. So, you know, it all depends on, you know, the mindset. It's a process. When people are going through this type of thing, and let's say they stop being bullied like tomorrow, it's going to take them a long time, maybe through therapy, or if they don't have a support group, they will have to find a way or some mechanism or principle or something, you know. Some of the things I did was that I would go out and take a walk. I would go read a book. I'll take a warm bath, or I'll go sing a song, or I would do my favorite. I would put on some Michael Jackson, and I would play Michael Jackson for hours. And I would just do something positive.
Okay.
Yeah, I will find something positive to do.
Now, and for me, I asked the question about people not accepting the friend request. Would something be wrong? For me, I'm thinking, it's okay. It's how you feel about it. It's not a, you know, for me, it's not, yes, you have to, and no, you don't. And it's just, how do you feel about it? Are you comfortable with accepting the friend request? Do you even want to? And then you know, you would go from there. Because I didn't accept it doesn't mean that I haven't gotten over it. It could mean I just don't really want to. Like, I'm one of those people, that person could be one of those folks who just want their real true friends on Facebook and not just people that, hey, I went cool with you, I'm cool with you. That doesn't make you my friend. I mean, if I'm on my last dime, you are not even the 99th person that I call for money. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it there's a lot of, a lot of factors that goes into it. And the common theme that I'm hearing from you is that you have to love yourself. I'm hearing a lot about self-love.
Regardless, yeah, you do. And we stop loving ourselves. The moment that we get a name call, and that happens for months and Sundays, you start to believe that these comments about you are true. you know.
Uh-huh.
You start to feel self-doubt and that you are ugly or that you, you know, you are overweight. You know, as a matter of fact, there was a Facebook post that I saw several weeks ago where a young lady went to a prom looking very nice in her dress, and, you know, someone on Facebook posted a negative comment and it went viral. And I'm thinking, you know, it was a very devastating thing because she actually came back with a video saying how excited she was and that, you know, all her friends loved her outfit. And then she came back and she was very disappointed and she was very hurt, you know. But for me, you know, it's much deeper than that, because that one comment by that one person and being able to have the reach that they did with her friends on her Facebook account puts that doubt in her mind that maybe my friends were lying to me about, I mean, this is just an example. I'm not saying everybody's doing this, but I'm just saying that one instance can have a grave impact on your psyche. And one of the philosophies I tell my boys when they was, I would say at least 3 years old and up, you have to have a strong mind to live in this society today, you know, to be able to deal with the things you're dealing with.
Yes.
And if you don't have a strong mind to deal with this, you're going to be weak and you're going to have problems. And I tell them that all the time, and I prove it to them every day. And, you know, God be willing that they take that and they do what they need to do with it. And I think I've been blessed so far that all four of them are not in trouble, not in no gangs, they're not being bullied anymore, and that they have a presence. But when someone doesn't, you know, to your point, if someone doesn't want to accept that friend's request, it is really you taking control, saying, I'm not going to let this person come back into my life. And I'm like you, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
And then you have the ones that don't want to accept it, and they relive it, you know.
Yeah.
And if they do accept it, you have to decide what kind of person this, you know, are you going to be to them and what they're going to be to you. You know, are they going to have the same impact that they had in the past? That's really your control. For me, in the end, I went ahead and accepted the friend's request, and we kind of chatted a little bit. And, you know, I don't see her doing anything that's going to bully me, because if she did, I could tell you, Raquel, you know, she'll be on block. Or I will actually go to her and say, hey, listen, you know, I don't appreciate it being treated this way. I'm not going to allow you to treat me this way. And if, you know, if you can't do it, we won't be friends. And I'm totally okay with that.
Well, I ain't 12 no more. I'm from New York, so I'm going to go knock on your door and let you know I ain't 12 no more, sweetheart. I'm just saying.
That's exactly
I'm
right.
A New Yorker, and that's just how that's going to go. We can try to be nice and adult about this, and let me tell you, that just ain't going to happen. I ain't 12. Don't get it twisted. I know, I'm crazy. I tell my students all the time, I'm like, you know, my first introduction, the first day of class, I tell them, I said, please, I'm going to speak a language and I'm sure you can all understand. Don't get it twisted because I'm in front of this classroom and think you're going to talk to me all kind of crazy. These heels come off, the earrings come off, and I got my Vaseline in my bag. Boom, let's go. I don't teach young kids. For all of those that are going to have their mouth open like, oh, my God, is that what she's saying to my kid? I don't teach little kids.
Mm-hmm.
I teach college. Okay, and they understand what I'm saying. They know what I'm talking about, because these college kids, they can get a little crazy now.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never experienced it personally. But I'm just saying, for that bully, I'd be like, we ain't 12, don't try. Not that mess now. Girl,
that
ain't nothing
so,
to it.
So true. That is so true.
And here I am
and
talking
so...
about bullying. Right now, I'd be the bully.
Yeah, but, you know, to everybody listening, let me tell you, you got to empower yourself now. You got to do it. You have to do it, because nobody is going to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself, and it doesn't matter if you're trying to start a business or if you're being bullied or maybe just you don't have you have a lack of confidence that you don't think you're going to make it. You got to try. You got to try. Believe in yourself and try, because you don't know what you can accomplish until you do. And
exactly.
And those are just one of the things that I kind of built up within myself. You know, it was part of that really was like, I'm not going to let nobody bully me anymore, and I'm going to do what's going to make me happy, and that's it. I'm taking control.
I love it. I love it, because the only person you can control in the end is you.
Exactly.
So I love it. Now, I've got one quick question before, you know, we get ready to wrap up here, and I want you to tell the folks how to get in touch with you, how to get your book and all that good stuff. Now,
Is it the bullying which made you a better person, or what you learned from the experience that made you a better person?
It was what I learned from the experience, because even as a little girl, I always wanted to help people. And when I would go out and help and do everything. I would paint and do all kinds of stuff. But the book is actually just more of an affirmation of my accomplishments to overcome all these adversities, you know. And I just couldn't wait to get it out of my system. It took me a long time to figure out how to articulate this. And it wasn't until my oldest son came to me and said, you know, when you do your business, you should find a way to write a book, and it doesn't matter about what. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be able to write no book. What are you talking about, David? I can't write no book. And I said, he said, yeah, you should do it. And it never really crossed my mind until after I did the Empower Thyself. And I said, okay, I guess I'll write this book. So he kind of foretold my future. And once I written it, I realized that everything that I've learned and that I dealt with and overcame pretty much was in this book. And I think that now that it's out here, it will help so many people. And I've actually sold several and got great feedback that a lot of people like the tips that are in this book. And it's really just a guide. It's not just me telling you that this is what you need to do. It's giving people a tool to develop their own principles on how they want to do it. And they can use whatever's in this book, or they can just customize it however they want. So if anyone is interested in this book, they can definitely get it from my website, which is www.alstentech.com/shop. And they can get the book for $15, or they can contact me directly at infoservices@alstentech.com. And I want to thank you so much for having me on your show and allowing me to bear it all.
I thank you for coming on. Here's what I'm thinking as you're chit-chatting, and I even wrote a note down. We need to do some kind of, notice I said we need to do some kind of collaboration where we do a workshop on educating people on how to bounce back, because I don't think enough people know how to bounce back. So that's going to be something that I think we should really work on, because we've both bounced back and from stuff, and how do you do it? Now, what works for me may not work for you. This is not a cookie-cutter way, but let's think, get ourselves in the mindset of bouncing back, being able to now figure out what's your purpose and start walking in your purpose and living your life versus being stuck in your past. Because I tell people all the time, you've got a rearview mirror and a windshield. The rearview mirror is really small for a reason. You're not supposed to spend that much time looking behind you at what took place. You're supposed to be looking out the windshield, because that shows you where you are going, and that's your future that's ahead of you. So we need to stop spending time looking back and start looking in the windshield, because if you keep driving and you're looking in your rearview mirror, tell me what's going to happen. How's that going to work out for you?
Crash.
Let me know. That's all I'm saying. You let me know how that's working out for you, looking in your rearview mirror and looking at your past all the time. Let's bounce back from what happened. It happened. We're not saying in any way that it's right. I think Anne would definitely agree. We're not saying that it's right what people did to you. We're saying that you deserve better, and you need to set that free, let that go, so that you can live your life and not get stuck. Right, Anne?
Absolutely.
Because you could have easily gotten stuck and let this bully just consume and control your life. But you wanted more for you. You knew you deserved more, and you were worthy of that. So I commend you on that. I mean, I've never I was bullied maybe one time for like a couple of seconds, and I wrote it in my book where, you know, as a little girl, I first started school, and some big girl just like caught me in the bathroom and felt me up, but I got away, and that was the extent of any bullying or assaults that I've ever come across in my life. But I've never been bullied. I guess after that, my mouth just was like, don't touch me, it ain't going to happen. I'm just not the one. You know, that's Brooklyn. That's the Brooklyn girl coming out when you hear that stuff. But Anne, I thank you so much. You guys definitely want to pick up Anne's book, Empower Thyself, on her website, alstentech.com/shop. You want to pick this up. Listen, guys, it's all about empowerment. It's all about encouraging. It's all about walking in your purpose, stepping into your power, and just being amazing and awesome people. And thank you for so much for being one of those amazing and awesome people. I truly do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on Bear It All. Thank you so much. Good luck with your first book, Empower Thyself, and your second and third book, because you know you've got to write another two.
Thank you so very much for having me on the show and allowing me to kind of bear it all. And, yes, let's please collaborate. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. And I hope that anything that I shared today that has resonated with you is able to help.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Anne. You take care, and we will definitely be in touch.
All right.
It's a pleasure. That she is an awesome, amazing woman to come on and share her story. I truly do appreciate when people come on and they're authentic and they're genuine and they just want to help others and help others grow and live life. And when we say live life, we're not saying it just don't be home. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living life instead of just existing. That's what it's about. Don't just exist. Live life. I say this all the time. Thank you so much for your continued support, and thank you for listening. Remember, your choices determine your destiny. Have a great night, and God bless.
It's lunchtime, and with the McPick 2 for $5, it's choice time. Choose any two classics like the Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, or 10-piece Chicken McNuggets for just $5. Let me get a McPick 2. Enjoy the choice. Price and participation may vary. Price of single item posted on menu board. Limited time offer.
Are you ready to lose those love handles? Do you work hard to stay in shape and eat healthy, yet you can't get rid of stubborn fat? Now there's a clinically proven way to help you look slimmer without surgery or downtime. It's called Sculpture. Sculpture's innovative procedure destroys fat in just 25 minutes with visible results as quickly as 6 weeks. Sculpture sounds amazing, right? Check it out for yourself by clicking on the banner or go to goodbyefat.com.